ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, pets and creatures of every make and model, fans of entertainment, shenanigans alike. Welcome back to Legends Podcast. I'm Beef.
I'm Wing.
I'm Kent.
And I'm John O'Lobster. 20 years ago, American cinemas were rocked by one of the best overall years in movie history. Now Legends Podcast is celebrating the Legends of 99 all year long. The highest grossing movie of 1999 was the summer release of the long-anticipated return of Star Wars to the big screen. After Star Wars experienced a resurgence in the 90s, thanks to the comic books, the special edition re-release of the original trilogy, and the everything-but-the-movie multimedia experiment Shadows of the Empire, George Lucas capped the decade with Star Wars Episode I, The Phantom Menace, the first installment of the 9-episode saga he originally planned. Taking place a generation before A New Hope, Episode 1 told the story of young Anakin Skywalker, the future Darth Vader, here a precocious child. While the film was a box office and merchandising smash, it sparked bitter debate among fans, many of whom to this day will fly into a rage if you mention things like midichlorians or Jar Jar Binks. Still, there's no denying that this movie exists. And as J.J. Jar Jar Abrams gets set to wrap up the saga at the end of this year, Legends Podcast is joined by Jedi Master Kent from Art House Legends to discuss the movie that started it all from a certain point of view.
I am totally not a Sith Lord, honestly.
There's only two, so are you the Master or the Apprentice?
I don't know. Ask Warren.
Or there's three, I guess, when Darth Maul gets cut in half.
Yay. Oh, and there's a bunch because one is a training and another, it doesn't work anymore.
He's half the man he used to be since he met young OB.
So this is a movie.
Let's, let's break this down because I feel like this is certainly hitting multiple buttons at the same time. It's hitting the, holy shit, this was 20 years ago. Holy shit, it's only been 20 years. This movie feels way older. I feel way older. I aged 10 years watching it. Like, where do you start with this movie? I'm going to throw Kent.
Trade roots problem.
I'm going to throw Kent under the droid personnel carrier and let him have first crack at what this movie stirs in him. Is it hate, fear, what?
Oh, making me feel old. Because I remember... I remember where I was working at... I remember... One of my early memories of this film is actually not of the film itself. It's here... It's the night that the first toys were released.
Right.
And I wanted to stay in line, but I couldn't because I had stuff going on,
sure.
And it was a midnight release. But I just drove past the line at like 6 or 7
right.
at night at Toys R Us, was down the sidewalk
sure.
for toys for this film before it was out.
And Toys R Us doesn't exist anymore.
Yes, actually.
Because of this
reason for that.
Because of this film.
This film, yeah.
Is it because of this film? Or, you know, okay.
Yep.
I thought it was cooperating.
Yeah. Joffrey the Giraffe would not sign the Trade Federation Treaty to...
That makes sense.
It's a whole deal, you know.
I think this is... You know, there's a meme going around right now. How name a movie you saw more than, like, 4 or 5 times in theaters.
Sure.
I think this is one of
them.
Because I know I saw it a couple times here. We went on vacation that summer, me and my... now wife, then girlfriend. We went on vacation in Canada, actually, that summer, and we saw it up there at a theater. The only place I didn't see this movie that I should have was the drive-in.
Right, yeah.
Which kind of, after I realized that, I was like, wait a minute, why didn't I? I remember seeing Empire Strikes Back at the drive-in.
Sure.
What's wrong with me? No! Ah! Thank you, December releases. I will never see Star Wars at
no,
again.
No, that, they kind of ruined that for us.
Yeah.
Next, Wing.
I was a particular age when that came out because I was like 17, 18.
Right.
And I was just like starting going to college, and I was like in the hype of my geekdom, being like, oh, I can't just be that and nobody gives a fuck. So I remember exactly the whole lead up to Star Wars, and I didn't buy a ticket to go the first night, but for some reason we just passed in front of the theater and they opened another room, so another showing, so we were able to just walk in. And I'm gonna be the weird one on this one, but I had a good experience then, and I still have a good experience watching this movie. So yeah. I'm probably a prequel apologist in some ways.
We know,
but that's okay. That's not the bad one for me. That's the thing. I don't think that's the worst that we're gonna get, and I love what it made for movie making, which has always been one other thing I love in Star Wars, is that Star Wars is not about Star Wars. Star Wars is about developing technology
right.
for other movies around it. It just happened to be something that we like. So, yeah, I was pretty hype, and I'm still a fan, so... Beef?
Meh. I don't even remember. I had to have seen it at least once in the theaters, but I don't know. Rewatching it again, it didn't hit me in the feels back then. It's Star Wars. None of the Star Wars or Star Trek really jumped out at me until I got a little bit older. There's a lot less aliens ripping each other apart for my liking. But I mean, I saw what they're trying to do. They're trying to smash everything together and give you a Darth Vader backstory. But again, clearly the whininess does drive through the whole Skywalker family. Genetic. I mean, it is genetic. It totally is. My dad's a drunk. I'm a drunk. Whininess, it's genetic too.
Just the men.
You're right. Just the men. Because the chicks are badass.
Until she dies of a broken heart.
Yeah, I mean, it's a movie. It's a thing. This isn't something that I go back to all the time. It's just, it didn't touch me on the feels then, and now it's just going back to revisit something I'd seen. So, Lobster?
Yeah, I was, let's see, this was 1999. I was ninth grade entering 10th grade, and I feel like I was still too old for this, in a way, right? Like, this... Among all the Star Wars movies, this feels so solidly aimed at kids, but at this, because it's, you know, pod racing and
Jar Jar Binks
and P. Usa and like just
ooh,
all this
doo doo,
yeah, all this stuff, but at the same time, bureaucracy and trade negotiations and sovereignty and votes of no confidence,
racism, and
yeah. Oh, don't get me started. Yeah.
No, I'm trying to.
No, even then, I was like, okay, so you have the fish people that sound
Asian.
Yeah, and crazy rich Asian, if you know what I mean. But then they put the squint eye goggles on them, and I'm like, no, you can't do that.
You see, that's where I win with a dub in French, because they're like, oh, we're not doing this.
Right.
It's a CGI. Totally.
Yeah.
Anyway.
It doesn't matter what they sound like. But I mean,
Jar Jar Binks is rolling around doing pigeon English with I don't know. It's he's so bad, too.
And Watto is a Jewish stereotype and the whole deal. Like, it's a whole thing. But also, there's like, I had the soundtrack, the Weird Al song.
Thank you for sharing that again in our chat.
Yeah.
Like, everything about this, like, I just lapped right the hell up. And a very, very close friend that I grew up with was even a bigger Star Wars fan than I. I really got on board with the re-release of the special editions. Like, I really enjoyed those because they were on TV, right? Like, you would watch the original trilogy on cable TV. USA or TNT or whatever.
Broken up by commercial.
Yeah. But then to get to go and see it with updated effects, like, I love that. I saw all of them in the theater. And so anyway, my friend Ramsey, huge Star Wars fan, dressed in costume as Darth Maul to go to the premiere. Like the whole, like the whole face paint.
How sad was he?
How uncomfortable, right?
Yeah.
And came out and told me he loved it. Like he loved it. And I remember liking it. And I remember
we all liked it.
Yeah. We all liked it. Like Qui-Gon, Jedi mind tricked us. And
to come back and spend more money.
Right. And all the merchandise and the Coke cans or Pepsi cans, whatever it was.
Too, is the merchandise is part of the hype.
Yeah, and this was peak Kenner, Lucas toy, like whatever it was. And they cranked and cranked and cranked and cranked all these toys out and paid for the rest of the trilogy, whatever, I don't know. And again, this made... $1.027 billion worldwide. If you actually look on the box office haul, this is about $175 million more that it made than the number two movie. Like, it was so far out in front that year. It's ridiculous. And we've been talking Legends of 99. We've been talking 1999 movies all year, and this is the biggest movie of the year. So I think what happened, so how do we get from that to the Red Letter Media video and the basically economy of hating on episode one, right? Like, and the prequels in general, because like Wing said, they don't get better. So it's such a weird thing, and I blame the internet. Like, I fully blame the internet in... We all came out and drank the Kool-Aid, and there was some subsection that was like, guys, no. What? No. And that grew louder and louder and louder and was amplified through the internet and early meme culture and everything and boards, and there were flame wars and all of this stuff. But now I feel like 20 years on, we're starting to get a little nostalgia, and it's becoming acceptable to say that you liked The Phantom Menace. And, like, no offense to Wing, but, like, that's a risky position. And I feel like now we're getting to the point where people can say, yeah, you know what? I came on this podcast a year ago and defended Howard the Duck, right? Like, and there's something that, you know, enough time may have passed, and maybe this movie was ahead of its time, and it was trying to do Game of Thrones before Game of Thrones was there, and, like, just needed something else. But it's still, just watching it now, there's maybe 20 minutes of good movie there for me. But I don't know.
It's just funny for me watching people who I know for a fact slammed on the prequels a few years ago, now praising them as, oh, the good old days.
Yeah.
And it's really?
Ryan Johnson will do that to you, right? Like, he'll...
Yeah.
and that's...
I don't get that.
Yeah.
Star Wars was too kiddie during the prequel. People were bitching about this.
Yeah.
Now Star Wars is made for adults, and they're like, well, that's not what I wanted.
People are never going to be happy.
Get your damn politics out of my Star Wars. Go back to when they're in the Senate declaring votes of no
confidence.
Against Byzantine trade policy that doesn't make any... What the...
Yeah, I think one of the problem with Star Wars is that Star Wars is, like you said, generational, but not just in its stories, but in its fans. And that's where, like, you and me are at a weird place, because there was not a Star Wars in theater when we were between 6 and...
Yeah, I mean, I was born in 14. I was born in 1983. Oh,
yeah,
so
for you guys, yeah.
Yeah, that was it. Like, 1983... Right, I could not have seen the original trilogy in theaters. This was it in 99, so.
So what happened with you and me is that we went back to theater in 97, we drank the Kool-Aid, we were the new generation, right. No problem, we liked the special effect. Then we went to see the Phantom Menace and all the other one, and we're like starting to be like 18, 20 and be like, that's not what I remembered. For some reason, The thing is that some people were between 6 and 12, and now they're like 28.
Yeah.
30,
yeah.
And
yeah.
At this point, they're like, what I remember right. when I was young. Yeah. I want Star Wars made for kids again, because that's how it was when I was we were young, and we're all having that Empire Strike Back to come back. No, but Star Wars can be this.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's one movie out of 10.
Yeah.
I'll be super generational and say, me growing up, original trilogy. Me dating was the prequel trilogy.
Okay, yeah.
Me raising child is the new trilogy. Yeah. That's, whoa.
There you go. So you're going to different...
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm watching child's reaction, so...
Yeah, and if you take Star Wars away for 10, 15 years, people go nuts when you give them back. You give them episode 1 or episode 7.
Right.
Just wait 10 years and people are going to be so happy.
Exactly. Then you have the time and you go back and it's not hammering on your nostalgia button because you haven't had it for 10 years. Now you get to go back and rewatch it and you go, this really wasn't that good. We were just happy to see Jedi's force pushing people and melting full blast doors with their lightsabers. When I started this movie, I was like, okay, I remember this on the ship. I think I remember this. Isn't there a lot more desert planet? What am I missing? And then we got to desert planet, and I'm like, oh, no, please, no.
Yeah, but you see what you said, the lightsaber through the door and all that.
You got
that
happy
first
for it.
Action sequence? When I was young... When I saw that movie first, I was happy like a pig in shit. I was like, okay, this is awesome. Fuck the Trade Federation.
They finally make the Jedi look like superheroes.
Badass.
Which they're supposed to be, right? And like, they zoom and jump.
Afraid
and,
of them. And,
yeah.
And then they proceed to forget all the things they can do during that opening.
Sure. Yeah.
And add Jar Jar to the mix.
Right.
And all that in like inside 15 minutes.
Well, we need this guy, right? He's,
I don't know.
How,
do we?
How clumsy? No.
Yeah.
But there's something to be said about what you guys said about the first episode creates all this hype. Now, The Force Awakens got a lot of flack for recreating Star Wars: A New Hope, right? Like copying the same plot structure and some of the same story beats and all that. What is this? What does this bring to the table? Like, if this is your, you know, again, episode one, let's say, this is your first
This is your jumping Star off point.
Wars.
Yeah.
If this is the jumping off where you lay the rules for the entire saga, does this do it?
Yeah, but it's... No, it doesn't, because it's not. You can call that episode one... forever and ever as much as you want.
I get it.
It's still episode 4. It's still the movie you get after Return of the Jedi, the logical evolution of the Ewoks getting to Jar Jar and then having an actual kid in it. The natural evolution that we don't need to explain to you what a Jedi is. We did that 2-3 movies ago. So that's where the movie can work if you think about it that way, and that's where the movie fails.
Yes.
Episode 1.
Go ahead, Kent.
Well, I don't know. It feels, after watching especially the trailer for the next movie, it feels, they keep saying, oh, the Star Wars saga is the tale of Vader.
Yeah.
I mean, it's the Anakin's.
Yes.
This feels like if they're bringing Palpatine back for 9, which is all implied, this isn't the Skywalker saga. This is the Darth Sidious saga.
He's there at the start.
This is that, and that whole thing makes more sense if you look at it from him moving through, and it's like, but he's not in one or two, or like three of the movies now. It's like, yeah, so? It's his effect is there.
Yeah.
The Skywalkers are never, and I can argue that a bunch, the heroes of the story. In the first three, one, I would argue that it's Obi-Wan. After that, I would argue that it's Han. Yes, he's meeting Luke. You're kind of following Luke in the first movie. Okay, fine. You can have that part of the argument. But all the rest, it's Han. That's why you keep following. And we go to save Han at the end of 2, and we go to save Han again at the start of 3. And it's all about fucking Han. And then when you get to the last tree, it's the story of Rey. It's not really the story of Kylo. His story happened in between movies, and we see him at a moment where we're... Anyway, in my point of view at this point, he's bad. He's irredeemable. Right. So he's going to be the villain. But the Skywalkers have just been like a tool of basically...
storytelling.
As you said, Darth Sidious.
Yeah.
Nine movies. But
speaking of tool, I saw your laser sword on your belt. Just saying.
Yeah.
Oh, wait till I put on this really cool helmet with goggles and fly around in my pod. That's all I remember was that pod racing video game.
Let me sell you this video game, yeah.
Jesus.
You got your N64, kids?
All right.
But that pod race is so good.
Yes, is it, though? Is it?
Yeah.
Yes.
I am squarely in the is it good.
I mean, there's parts of it that I go, okay, that's kind of fun, but that sound every time you hear... Bulbas, the I'm like, this is doing other than making me nostalgic. Like, I know this is what movie it's from, but I don't care.
And Lucas cribs a lot from other films. So he's cribbing chariot races from Ben-Hur, right? Like, we get it. But also, I don't know. Like, I will say, rewatching it this time, I appreciated more... how they were like, no, like, the reason why this works is we're on the corner of the galaxy that no one gives a shit. Like, we can get away with we can get away with slavery, we can get away with, like, basically murder ball as, like, the national sport. Like, everything here we get away with because the Republic doesn't care. Like, no one cares. The Empire comes in and cleans shit up, right? Like, they move single file, walk right in, whatever. And
well, they don't clean... The Empire doesn't clean shit up. The Hutts are still in charge of Tatooine.
They are, but...
I mean...
Yeah, but after making a deal with the Empire.
I think they get rid of slavery, right?
No. The Empire does not get rid of slavery. And
they find it really useful, actually.
Oh, darn.
Yeah. Who do you think that explains Chewbacca, right? Slave Wookiees were hiring.
Independent contractors. Right? Get your story straight.
Yeah.
I believe it was
Same people that built the pyramids, you know? They were all artisans.
Gungans.
Yeah, they weren't slaves.
So, can we talk about Naboo as the planet that we're going to fight for? Which is inhabited by two sentient species who like ignore each other and won't talk. And
I like the concept of Naboo. You have that artistic planet that looks basically like this little part of Italy, which is it's always beautiful with that underlying life form, mm-hmm. which, like you said, they don't talk to each other.
Aquaman.
The aqua people, basically. The cartoons.
But it's nice that they haven't tried to kill each other, too, you know?
Yeah, but the concept is super great, but the execution is kind of weird. Because it's a beautiful planet, but you give me no reason whatsoever to actually care
about it. They don't instill confidence.
They also seem like dicks, the Gungans. They do, I mean, they don't give you one to root for in Jar Jar right away, and then his king is just a prick to him, and you're like, okay.
That's the problem, Jar Jar, because one of my favorite character in this movie is Chief Tarpaul, which is the other...
the other Gungan?
That's with in the stash. War at the
like
end.
The white beard, yeah.
He's got the stash.
I love that guy.
Catfish
but he's a
dude.
Warrior. He's not a douchebag.
Yeah.
What if Jar Jar was kicked out of Gunga Din because he was too tough. He was like too tough. Oh. Like he's this guy, he's always starting fights and he's a real badass.
Nah, cuz then he would have fought Sebulba instead of being a bitch.
Well,
and that would have been something more interesting.
He did have numb tongue. You know what I mean?
Numb tongue. You're right. He did. Numb beak.
We still don't know what his crime against the Gungans was.
He was too clumsy. He clearly, how did he, what did he do?
Did he
killed like a whole bus full of small Gungans by accidentally doing something. Killed,
he could have.
I know.
He killed younglings.
They have technology, right? Which I thought was pretty cool when they had the big shield generators. So maybe he fucked something up and
let the water bang.
And the first thing they do when they get intergalactic recognition, they're like, take that guy away from our planet. Sure, yeah. Make him a senator. We don't care.
Well, he does. He's the one. He's why he's we have emergency powers to Chancellor Palpatine, right? Like, yeah. He causes the Galactic Empire.
That's George Lucas' personal fuck you to everybody that hates Jar Jar. Is like, oh yeah, he creates the Empire. You can't forget him.
Yeah,
yeah. He, you know what?
And you have to love the Empire because you love watching the 501st dress up in Stormtrooper armor. Therefore, it's Jar Jar.
What's her face? Amidala made the fucking Empire by
She did. Yeah,
forcing out what's his face in the long
run. Was it her or was it Keira Knightley? Because I dare you. In half the movie to figure out which is which.
Oh, that's right.
When they have, makeup on.
I didn't look who the double was.
It's Keira Knightley.
Keira Knightley.
Who is, you know, also a mega star in the 2000s, much like The Professional.
Much like Natalie Portman is, they both
kind
of jumped from here.
They both had their thing, I mean.
Yeah.
Except that Natalie Portman kind of wins Oscar from time to time.
Yes, she does,
Yeah.
Ooh, that was a low blow. Jeez.
Keira
Knightley, I think, takes home more cash.
She probably does.
Yes. Well, when you're in Pirates of the Caribbean, that's, that's not bad. And when you don't piss off every major production you're on, that helps too.
Look at that. Funny that.
Who's the black swan now?
It's a black sheep. Man.
Yeah.
Who's the girl that's in an end game for 1 second? You know?
Which one?
No, that wasn't her. That was Keira Knightley. They just shot her from the side in the back.
It's actually Daisy Ridley, who, if you smash the two together, it's kind of what you get.
But you see that first act of the movie until we get to Tatooine, I love that part. If we didn't have the... you just got the underwater stuff. Everything else I kind of like the droids
to Coruscant, and it slows way the fuck down.
Yeah, the droids and stuff. Yeah. The droids and stuff were fun, and that I mean, all that was cool. The robots, like the droid army, I don't know, that looked a little dated because they were like, "What can we make a lot of and just do over and over? That's not going to need to be people, right? Stick figures that move robotically." That don't have to breathe or sway in the wind. They can just unhinge.
Roger.
Yeah, but that's interesting in this when we go to the grand scheme of Star Wars, because you start with these crappy one, then we go to clone troopers, again, better droids, and then we see that actual troops are the best, and by the time we're in the First Order, we're just brainwashing kids, so it's easier that way. There's an evolution in warfare. So.
No, I do like that, but I mean, you can see the limits of the technology at the time and them trying to do something, but I clearly know why they did it, not just for
once
story.
Once you turn off the remote control, like, that's it, right? Like,
right.
Yeah.
They're done.
I can't.
Oh, because the kid accidentally finds his way into the fucking ship and accidentally pulls a trigger and shut the fuck up.
Now this is pod racing.
Oh, I'll bet.
It was the Force.
Oh, yeah, he used the Force to aim the fiery... Yeah, okay.
Well, no, technically it was the cells within his cells.
I don't think the Force works like
inside
that.
Inside my cells. Thank you. I don't think the Force... That's not how the Force
works. That's not how the Force works. I fuck up quotes better than anybody.
Yes. no, it's midichlorians, which is another thing we have this movie to thank for.
Are we sure it's just not the targeting computer and his fighter went, hey, there's a power source over there.
It might have, but what if it does that every time?
I think it was R2-D2. I'm convinced there is no Force.
Okay.
It's R2-D2 and magnets. That's
fine. We can do R2-D2. That is the only thing I can believe. I'm not going to say his fighter did it because every time he's parked in his own base, it decides to shoot because there's a power source.
Yep. So I want to talk about midichlorians.
Yes, can we talk about virgin births too?
Okay, sure. Conceived by midichlorians.
It's all the same conversation.
All right, Anakin. I know Father's Day, you know, was last weekend. Let me tell you about the time a bunch of midichlorians gangbanged your ma.
Yeah, they just flew into her vagina. Where do midichlorians come from? Do they are they like pollen on a plant? Do they fly by the wind, or did an insect put it in her?
Uh-huh. Okay,
shouldn't Anakin have been a girl if she were the only contributor to the DNA?
To the genetic pool? Yep. Yeah, unless she has some random. Yep. Oh, there's a word.
You can buy a tube of midichlorians. Well, of course, it says
no. It can't be because it's written by a guy. So
yes. Yeah, true. That too.
It's got to be a dude.
I mean,
right. You can actually buy a tube of midichlorians. It says KY on it, and then you.
I think now it's like CBD. It's sold at every car wash and gas station out there. Now legal midichlorians for sale. Get yours here.
That's why Colorado is so high. It's the force just lifting up those.
It's the force high city.
Ooh. Okay, before anybody get rights to the show and goes, no. He doesn't know what he's talking about.
Stargate Remember, Pioneer.
These are not humans. Yeah, these are not humans. We don't know what their genetics are, but at the same time, yeah, if we're going to cast it as humans, that's not how it works.
I mean, I can get behind it. I have a hard time. They
put it something.
The whole thing in the original trilogy is the Force is this mystical thing that you don't have to quantify and explain, and then they go, oh, let's test them for midichlorians. Well, we got a Jedi here.
That's because they had to go, oh my God, this kid's stronger than Yoda. Yeah. He's going to become Vader.
Couldn't he just be like, I don't know, this kid, man, gave me a Force. As soon as I saw him, I got a Force boner. It just pointed right at him, and I knew.
Force is a sexually transmitted disease.
Yeah.
But seriously, I'm asking, why when you were 10 years old, you had no problem with, oh, this guy just has it, as when you're 20 and they're like, there's actual scientific reason.
We can quantify someone's Force ability. Well, I think because it gets into this thing of like, we can quantify how strong someone is with the Force based on this one thing.
And he's a kid.
But the whole cool thing about Star Wars is like, if you apply yourself and study hard and work hard and train hard, you can do things that like you wouldn't think were you'd be capable of. Whereas if you quantify it and say, no, you'll only ever be able to do this because of your midichlorians, and it's not something you can gain.
The movie never says everything that you just said. Everything that you just said, you're extrapolating.
Yeah.
The movie says that his count is higher, so he must be strong with the Force. That's
or
basically
he ate a,
what
or
the
he mo- ate a poppy the, seed bagel. Like
that's heroin.
Yeah, one or the other. But that's basically what the movie says. That's all you get in this movie. And it's never really mentioned in these movies again.
Because people fucking hated it.
No, I can explain to you how they work because they went in more detail in the expanded universe at that point to explain how they work, how this works. And honestly, I find that more in vain with the kind of sci-fi show that Star Wars trying to be.
I like the fact that they tried to give it some science backing. I like science in my sci-fi, right? But I always thought of the Force as like, you know, this thing that's in all living things that's around you, da 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 da. Right. I don't know why.
As
that's
Highlander
just,
told us, it's a kind of magic.
And
it still works that way.
It's just
the only,
weird.
The only thing that they change, and that's what they don't explain ever again, and that they probably should, or maybe not, because people just want to forget about it.
Yes,
is that the more you're lucky enough to be strong in the Force, like whatever the way we just tell them happens. These things tend to, like a magnet. You told me it's like a magnet. Like a magnet, there's more on you.
Well, if you only eat foods that are rich in midichlorians, maybe you have more midichlorians. And I heard that...
There's a bunch of different ecosystems in your body
I heard that vaccines actually cause midichlorians. So,
but you see, that's
we got to
exactly
make sure he's. We got
to
get him.
How
tested.
Dirty are their Friday and Saturday nights that they have to have testers on their fucking communicators? Test his blood quick.
It looks like there's a Jedi toolkit that has everything. I mean, they get to Naboo, he whips out a grappling hook. Where did that come
from? Batman.
I mean, we don't really know. We don't know why Watto is keeping a child slave, right? Like,
he won his. He
bought his mother's debt, I think.
Yeah.
He owned his mother and she had a baby.
Spontaneously.
Yeah.
I mean, it's...
Wouldn't you have asked, if that's exactly how it went, wouldn't you have asked what other slave knocked you up? I mean, she seemed pretty shocked that she just got a kid.
What other slaves are fucking each other? Free baby. Yeah.
True, yeah.
Come on,
true.
Free slave, man.
Ask all these questions. Well, she's not in
Star Wars has gone in a dark place, guys.
Well, what is slavery? It gets darker if you go into the theory that, well, semi-confirmed theory that Palpatine manipulated the Force to create Anakin.
Yeah, that's basically what
happened.
Wait
a minute. Yeah. So how is that like the shadow baby from Game of Thrones out of Melisandre? How does that work? He sent manipulated Force.
He made a Force boner to go somewhere. But it just ended up somewhere else.
Okay, so he had some slave girl he wanted to put it in.
Yeah.
Okay.
The Force picked her.
Right.
And just said, "You'll meet him. You'll meet the offspring someday." Okay. And he's like, "Okay." And then a few years it was originally
one of the two girls that you see giving Zabulba a manicure.
Could be. Who knows?
Or both.
Yeah.
But you see, when we were talking earlier, when you say it's a difficult position if you like this movie or not, in all the fun you're making of this movie, you're basically repeating a bunch of meme, and your own argument is it's not the way I like it to be.
Yes. And also, yes, because George Lucas had George Lucas is the sole writer credited on this movie. I don't think anyone said, "Hey, George, maybe don't do this one thing and tone it down a little bit in this one area and do less of this and we need more of this." Like, no one checked him and said, "You know, I see where your head's at. I know that you want to bring Star Wars back and you're really excited for all these ideas. But remember, we're trying to make an action movie here. Like, we're trying
Somebody in editing did pull him back, because remember, they filmed that whole pre-pod race scene where they introduce and give you a backstory on every single person in the pod race. And that extended scene is like 10 minutes.
You need
to
have more than 2 hours.
To like a minute.
To get that. Yeah. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
I just think that there's something to be said for, with the original trilogy, the first one, he didn't have enough money to do everything he wanted. The second two, he had other people direct them. And other people writing the scripts and dialogue and, you know, actually like managing his ideas. I think George Lucas is a great idea factory, right? Like, he is great at coming up with these fantastical things, but at a certain point, like, and you need to temper that a little bit with some sense, some common, this is how we make movie sense.
Well, okay, now I'm going to go back, because this is just a discussion about George Lucas and, okay. But this movie in particular, if we go back to The Phantom Menace, I basically disagree with mostly everything you guys are saying. Ooh. I think the story is great. The way the story is told is not great. I'm on board with the midichlorian. I'm on board with the virgin birth. I'm on board with
Trade Federation treaties, with
the Trade Federation treaties. I'm on board with all that bullshit. All that, I have no problem.
Here's what I'm not on board with. Oh, go ahead. Sorry.
The problem for me in this particular movie is the pacing and, as you said, the editing of ideas before they started. If you take the original Star Wars, you have all that politic, but it's all in background text instead of going to a planet and going there for 10 minutes. And then, as you said, having a movie about space NASCAR, which is basically what it is, inside your movie. But the idea of trying to get this kid out of that world in some kind of sporty way is kind of something that I like, this idea. Again, the midichlorian better explained is a great idea to go farther than being like, okay, we have aliens. Yeah, but we have aliens that are so small and they're attracted to us because of this reason.
He only took the kid because the kid was powerful. Other than that, he was just going to use the kid to get the parts from the pod racing. Other than that, he didn't give a shit about that kid or the mom.
Didn't give a shit about the mom. No. Yeah. Okay, here's something I have a problem with. Declaring a vote of no confidence on the motherfucking Limey. The fucking Limey.
Right.
Terrence Stamp. Tell him I'm coming. You tell him I'm fucking coming.
Yeah, I don't even know why he's in this movie.
I mean, they needed to reverse the role of the guy who was on Naboo and was like, oh, Padme, you gotta call us back. They're, you know, they're being real dicks to us.
They're killing a lot of us.
Yeah.
We never should have went to Coruscant. Coruscant, the Jedi Temple, and all of that should have been reserved for another movie.
Yeah.
We should have went from Naboo, we go to Tatooine, we get some problem, we get some information on what happens, and then we just go back to Naboo. The stop to Coruscant was where the movie loses.
I think we never saw Coruscant.
The most is the tone.
We never saw Coruscant in the first trilogy. I don't think we ever needed to see it.
Until special edition.
Yeah. Well, yeah. But then, I think...
I think Coruscant should have been revealed at the start of 3.
Yeah, talk 3. About yeah, it, 3 is good. About
yeah.
It,
yeah.
Then you have the big fight on top of Coruscant, and all of a sudden you get there. But, in this movie, it was there just to be there.
Yes.
And have you ever read the original treatment of Star Wars in comic book version?
Oh, I don't think so.
That exists. It's before he edit everything. Darth Vader is just a dude, and there's a bunch of politics, and there's a lot of Coruscant in it. And when you watch the prequel, now you're like, oh, that's what you edited out.
You're right. You wanted
again,
that
that's
stuff.
That's the first thing I would take out.
So one of the things I mentioned was I bought the soundtrack for this movie.
Famous, wasn't it called Running with Scissors?
Yeah, Running with Scissors by Weird Al. So one of the things that the John Williams soundtrack famously spoils for you is the death of Qui-Gon Jinn, because you have a track called Qui-Gon's Noble End and then Qui-Gon's Funeral.
What was with the laser walls? I mean, that lock and unlock every fucking 20 seconds.
The same thing at the end of
Galaxy Quest.
The same thing at the end of Black Panther, dude. Like, they need something.
True.
So, like, there's a pause in the fight.
I love the Galaxy Quest reference, sir. Quest. Thank you. Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Thank you.
Yeah. Because this episode was bad rewritten. What
the fuck are these things?
Yeah, right,
we don't have a technical manual. Maybe there is a behind the scenes. Yeah, these things are like security doors that just go every...
Oh, no, the behind the scene was we need something to have people
separate
in different
them.
Rooms. Yeah, that's it. That was the reason.
But to watch is
some kind of bullshit reason.
Also, you can use the Force. Does the laser wall stop the Force? Can't you just, while he's got his back turned, like, bonk him in the head with the Force or knock him in the hole? Like,
Right, Force push.
You have two Jedi against one Sith. Yeah,
with,
Force push
with,
Maul into
with
a wall.
Double-sided lightsaber.
Okay, that was cool.
That was cool.
Everybody
for
admits
4 minutes.
Was cool.
That was awesome.
Cool. Yep. And then it got cut in half, and then it was just a regular ass lightsaber
with a really big handle, and then his body got cut in half.
Yes, he did.
Yeah.
Not before he skewered Liam Neeson, though.
Who? I don't know who that is. Qui-Gon Jinn. Just kidding.
Yes.
Yeah.
So
I remember
Qui-Gon. You did. You did a very good job.
Oh boy.
Qui-Gon was the master, Obi-Wan, the apprentice.
Tiny
so we see
ponytail.
We do. And what do you guys make of this? Part of me wishes there was more of just them doing stuff, because I think the strongest parts of the prequels are just like the buddy stuff between Qui-Gon and Obi-Wan, and then Obi-Wan and Anakin.
Yeah. Because that's when you see just how much of a, sometimes an idiot Obi-Wan can be. Yes. But he is the wisest guy. No, he can be dumb.
Yeah, he's the wisest guy because he made all these mistakes.
I've not heard in a long time.
A long time.
But you see, the third act of this movie, I think if it was not of the CGI that did not grow all that well, because that's the first time they were doing that shit, basically. Yeah. I love all the different stage of the fight again, because you have like the big fight with Jar Jar, the people infiltrating, the kid in the jet fighter, and the Jedi fighting. So the last 40 minutes of this movie just goes like this.
Yeah.
Thank God.
I had a board game that was basically based on the last part of this movie, so
There you go.
You fought all three battles at once, so
one thing I'm sad that we never got to see Sir Alec Guinness do is jump in the air, do a split, and kick two people at the same time, because Obi-Wan does that shit like four times in this movie.
Yes.
And I'm always like, why is that your special? Like,
how is that even practical? You have to be close enough so that your stubby leg can only hit one person on either side.
So the thing about kicks is they really only, like air kicks, they only work if you're pushing off of something. So if you're pushing off of something, kicking people with both feet at once, like, is it just your fart that's propelling you?
It's the force.
Is it the force?
It's the force.
Force kick.
It's the midichlorians in that breakfast burrito I just ate.
Nobody poops in Star Wars. That's proven.
A couple cameos from original series. People, obviously, Ian McDiarmid, who we talked about, Anthony Daniels, Kenny Baker, Frank Oz, Warwick Davis.
Shows up twice.
Yes. Are all in this. Obviously, the breakout character, Mace Windu, is in this as well. Samuel L. Jackson.
Motherfucking lifesaver.
Yes.
Saber.
Purple lightsaber.
Purple lightsaber.
It's all he wanted.
Hand me my lightsaber. It's the one that says badass motherfucker.
Right?
Just talking about Shaft.
Yeah.
Of my lightsaber. Okay, should we rate this puppy?
I don't know. Well, who's got some? Anything else?
Bring some stuff up.
There's a story that when Jurassic Park was being made, when they were doing the editing, Spielberg had Lucas sit in on the editing because he was busy with something else, so he wanted George there. And that's when George Lucas decided to make this film.
When he saw Jurassic Park?
When he was watching what they did with Jurassic Park.
He said, what if those dinosaurs talked in racist voices? how awesome.
Roger.
He said, oh, okay, the effects.
The Dilophosaurus comes out and it has its frilly thing. And it's like, underlay.
Well, if you look at the underwater scenes, that could easily be Jurassic creatures.
Yeah, there's always a bigger fish.
So, yeah, but I mean, between the practical and CGI effects that was being done for Jurassic, he was like, yeah, we can do this now.
Just green screen the shit
basically
up.
Basically why we got the special edition. That was the
test. That was the test.
And, well, the test was... I mean, depending on which... I think Empire was a great use of the technology.
It had the least done with it, so...
Well,
no, that's the one that has the most, because...
With the effects,
You don't notice it.
City. Yeah. But the worst is the original Star Wars because that first version of
Mos Eisley or
Hutt.
Jabba.
Oh my god,
Squishy
the
carpet.
Version was bad.
Yeah.
The rest of Mos Eisley I'm okay with, but the first version of Jabba, oh my god. Why would you do that?
Because they could.
Yeah.
It's basically just because they could, and there's another reason that I've heard is that by adding that scene, it's the different cut, so it's not the Marshall Lucas cut, so he doesn't have to pay alimony on that movie. That's why the special edition exists.
Good basically. Good job, Lucas.
Clever!
The man's a great storyteller, but he's
and he can sell merchandising because that's how he made his money.
Well, yeah, yep. I mean, that was a smart move just to say, hey, I get X percentage of the toys. Yep. Okay, whatever, they won't sell. And
yep. Oh, yeah. Wait, yeah. Do you know the story of how the toys started costing so much for the company? Basically, when he sold the revenue, he was like, okay, if you give me like 6%, we're in the 70s, 6% of whatever you yeah. sell, and then you give me something like, I think it was $1,000 a year for the license.
Yeah, it was a cheap license, but they had to give him
when
part
the
of it.
Company was sold, Kenner, to Hasbro, somebody forgot to send the check. When they started to do toys for episode one, they were like, you don't have a contract anymore.
Yeah.
They paid through the roof to have the license on that one. Hence why they pushed so much, because they were like, okay, we have to recoup the money we invested to get that license. And weirdly enough, Lucas made more money than the toy company that time.
Mm. Yeah.
I will say, I think I watched the special edition of the prequel because it had CGI Yoda and not puppet Yoda, which I think originally Phantom Menace had a puppet Yoda, and I definitely had a CGI Yoda. So
there's three versions of Phantom Menace. Yeah. There's the theatrical, there's the extended VHS quote-unquote version with puppet Yoda, but the long race. And then you have the DVD version where you have extra Yoda all in CGI.
That's what I had.
You
have
extra time again in the race.
That's definitely the one I had.
Yeah, that cut is. I'll give it to you. The pod race is long in that cut, but they added like 9 minutes to that scene. Some crazy amount of time.
All right, Beef.
Oh, man, I think it's time to rate this puppy. I sense much fear in you. Fear leads to anger. Anger leads to hate. Hate leads to rating this movie. For the Phantom Menace, are you going legendary?
Beef, Wing, and Lobster, that's our team. Except on this episode, Kent's on the scene. When it comes to Binks, well, I'm a fiend. I see my Jar Jar, and I got to scream. Gotta keep this bit up, keep it hyper speed. Too sweet to be Sith, a Jedi can't be mean. Of the racist tropes, I'm not too keen, but Star Wars is back on the big screen. Mace Windu, gotta keep it clean, not going hot like Tatooine for a purple lightsaber, cause that's his dream. Gotta thank OB for sticking to memes. Now when it comes to Yoda, he is green, made in a computer with a subroutine. Another dimension, new menace, intergalactic phantom me.
I don't know what's better, all the GIFs or you singing that. Legend of its time.
I Padawan my MTV.
Cult legend.
Corn on the cob, corn on the kebab.
Awesome.
This movie featured a podcaster before it was cool.
Entertaining.
Bet it made you forget all about the Ewoks, didn't it? Yup, nup.
Mayable.
Sith happens.
Forgettable.
Bantha Poodoo.
Abysmal.
The Phantom Menace.
Spring Breakers D&D.
Star Wars Episode 1, The Phantom Menace. Gotta say it.
Can you repeat that old rap? Because that's where I'm going. This movie, for what it is legendary. Everybody here around the table remembered when they saw it. Most people saw it when they were young, creating like a whole new generation of fan after. That they bitch or not, they're still fan and they're still spending money on Star Wars. This is the first 100% CGI character that you've ever have. You don't get your Avatar, you don't get your Lord of the Ring, you get none of that if George Lucas doesn't go like all in on, unfortunately, Jar Jar, but the technique is still the same that we're using today. this relaunch, the huge blockbuster era at the end of the 90s and the era of the multiplex again, by telling to the theater you have to run it for like 8 weeks and you need these kinds of projector and this, so it actually drove the movie industry for a while and completely changed it after that. This movie is well made or not, because it's not, doesn't change its place in pop culture, in movie making history, in special effect history, in marketing history, and in the heart of so many children, so that are now adults and make their kid reliving all the same bullshit at once over again. So yeah, The Phantom Menace is legendary. Beef.
I mean, I agree with everything you said except your rating.
Intergalactic Phantom Me.
It does change a lot, and it does do a lot for technology, and sad that Jar Jar was our first creation, but I'm going with forgettable. This is Bantha Poodoo. I remembered little bits and pieces of it, but none of the connecting tissue, none of it that actually was it. It's just pretty much any other Star Wars movie. This is Star Wars, right? Not Star Trek. Pretty much, just kidding, guys. Just kidding. Any other Star Wars movie is going to be better than this to me. Maybe the prequels. None of them really get me. It's taken the last two that have come out for me to go, okay, I can get it now. Even the originals never really smashed my buttons, and this is by far one that I do not like. So, forgettable. Bantha Poodoo. Kent.
Ouch! Oh, no.
Sorry.
Yeah. No. I'm kind of on the border between legendary and legend of its time. Padawan, my MTV. Because it... And most of it involves... Okay, I agree. It actually has a really good backstory about what's going on. Trade Federation, manipulated by the Sith, screws up a planet to try and cause a war, to try and kill off some Jedi. Okay, this is all set up for the Clone Wars eventually. That's really what this... all the events are happening. But it's being told from the... It's focusing on a point of view of a 10-year-old kid and then being marketed and kind of filmed around, hey kids, go look at this kid who's your age doing this kid stuff in a galaxy far, far away. It's kind of aimed at a 10-year-old thinking... Until all of a sudden we're into politics. And like, yeah, he had a good thing going there, and then he kind of lost us. Could we backtrack a little bit? Oh, okay. Action scene. Okay, we're happy now. It did change a lot about how... It brought back... I want to say it brought back to summer blockbuster, but, you know, it was the 90s. We had them every once in a while, but... This was Star Wars. It brought back Star Wars as, here's a brand new story, here's a brand new story arc, and here are things we never thought we were going to see. We have the chance of seeing lots of Jedi doing stuff, and we're going to see that in the next part. It gave us, here's how you do a CGI army on screen that looks, for the time, it looked good. The droid army at that time, when you see their transports come over that ridge right before they fight the Gungans, the scene that's actually in the original trailer for it, that was like, wow, that looks good. It even still holds, it mostly holds up today with our super CGI abilities or whatever. So yeah, it is a legend of its time. Parts did not age well, but it keeps to that, and Padawan my MTV. Hey, Lobster, I gotta say this real quick.
Go ahead.
What's the Trade Federation's favorite Avenger? Steve Roger.
Oh God. Oh, okay. So,
had to get
on that
it
note, this is why we have a 1.5. This is Mayapple.
Oh.
So Sith happened to this movie. But this is like halfway, 1.5, because there's some entertaining. It did make me forget all about the Ewoks, Yub Nub. And then it is all, like half, like 1 foot, like Jar Jar in the Bantha Poodoo. Like, I don't know. This movie made so much money and was such a phenomenon that they let Lucas do this twice more before they said, no, we're done. We're done. Enough. No. He had the high ground. But, like, I can't.
Don't call that a no, getting $4
billion. I know. Yeah. I can't express how
4.3.
Frustrating it is that this movie exists and then Attack of the Clones, and what's not altogether a horrible movie, but certainly ends on kind of a horrible note, the Revenge of the Sith is. And for what it's worth, Disney has not learned the same lessons. They have put all their eggs in one basket once again, and are handing the final chapter off to someone who's notoriously at kind of screwing up final chapters. He's great. He's a great opener, but JJ is not a strong closer. And they also made two more prequels. Like, I don't get it. And I have come out before, I think, the second episode I was on Legends. I shat all over Rogue One, and I was not a huge fan of Solo. And, like, again, I just feel like there are lessons here to be learned that have repeatedly not been learned. Whatever the trials they talk about for the Jedi, like, oh, I must face the trials. Like, the trial is just, let's make this movie again. Like, just keep doing prequels, because I don't know why. I don't know. That said, I did have a lot of fun going back and revisiting this, thinking about where I was at the time, thinking about where I am now, that I can not only smartly critique a movie, but modify a Beastie Boys lyric about it. Like, I'm proud of who I am now, and who I am now is in part because of this movie.
So Sith happens?
Sith happens, man. Yeah. I will love Duel of the Fates till I die, and they play it at my funeral. But again, like, to me, it's just that you're the man now, dog. Corn on the cob, corn on the kebab. Like, that's all I still think of. So part of my love of this movie is my love of hating on this movie. So Sith happens, man. I went to the dark side.
Last word on Star Wars Episode One: The Phantom Menace.
Muy, muy.
So at the end, right? So at the end, Augie gets this giant glowing bowling ball. He holds it up and says, peace. And they're like, nope, Star Wars.
It's peace between the Gungans and the Naboo.
Were they at war? I thought they just kind of ignored each
other.
Ghosted each other on Facebook, right?
I think that it was kind of a... God, what are you doing? It was more like we really don't like each other. Now it's like, Gungans, hey, come over for beer.
No, the Gungans blocked them on Twitter. That's what happened. Like, they're just like, no, we're just going to pretend.
You know what it is the people keep shitting in the Gungans' water source.
They probably pollute the fucking water. Like, I'm sorry, if our planet had Gungans, they would fucking killed us hate us
a long time ago.
Oh, yeah.
We'd be Bantha Poodoo. Beef, what time is it? So we're in the middle of summer. I have forgotten what a box office hit is.
Other than a Disney movie?
Men in Black.
I don't even think that saying a Disney movie is appropriate either right now.
Yeah,
looking at this weekend.
That's got a million. That's a plus foreign, or 100 million plus foreign. That money counts too.
No, I'm not looking. Well, it depends which movie we're talking about.
Men in Black.
Oh, okay. I was looking at how bad Aladdin was doing.
Oh, yes.
Aladdin? And that's a Disney movie.
Yeah, Aladdin's doing fine. It's still Disney. Like number four for the year.
Yeah, but Aladdin is
That's $730 million.
$850 million. Yeah. Which is more than you could expect from that when they started. True. So it's a sleeper hit.
It is. So top three movies worldwide 2019 are Avengers Endgame, Captain Marvel, and Aladdin.
Jesus.
Okay, so so it's in the number three worldwide so far. Now number four is The Wandering Earth, which other than
see.
Yeah, other than Beef, probably no one has seen it here, but
it's on Netflix.
Yeah, and it's free.
So,
So Men in Black, the Men in Black have this little tool called the Neuralizer, which makes you forget stuff. And they use that on audiences because audiences forgot all about this movie, forgot to go to the theater, did not see it. Also, so sorry, Mace Windu, Shaft. You opened at number six at the box office, so you got the Shaft.
What's the Rotten Tomatoes on those?
It's bad.
Both of them?
Yeah. What? They're both around 30-40%.
Men in Black is bad.
Ouch!
Shocker.
Well, I had hopes because of the casting, but casting.
I had an idea if you wanted to recoup money from some of these super high-end, expensive actors. You take, well, look at the who's in Men in Black. If you'd put them in a cheaper, budgeted movie, just a stupid, brainless rom-com, you can make money. I mean, if they had made $25,000 on a brainless rom-com, success. But
on the other end, you would think that put $40 million on Shaft and you're sure to make money.
Yes.
And it seems that they're 34% Rotten Tomatoes. It's 34% for Shaft and 24% for Men in Black.
I don't think Shaft marketed at all because I forgot it was coming out. So
I saw one commercial when I was at a friend's house last weekend, and we were trying to figure out how this movie relates to the last movie that was called Shaft.
Yes, starring Samuel L. Jackson.
Right, and it's like, is this a sequel, remake, or a...
It's a sequel.
Then call it Shaft 2, or Shaft Next Generation, or Shaft Deep Space Nine.
Shaft Again.
Yeah, Shaft It Again. Yeah,
shut your mouth.
There's three Shaft movies, and they're every time they add a generation.
It's a TV series, too. But
yeah.
Okay. Shaft Q. So, Paramount knows what I want, what I really, really want.
Oh, my God.
They want to make an animated Spice Girls movie featuring all five original Spices.
I'm sure the Spice Girls want to make it too so they can get some fucking money.
And because it's animated, they don't have to work out.
Yeah, they don't have to show up. They want to sell their digital singles. What the hell?
Why not?
It's a known quantity. People are going to pay for it. You know what it is.
People want to spice up their life. Every boy and every girl.
Oh my God, stop it.
Well, if you gotta be Paramount's lover,
yes, you got to. You gotta get with their animation division. Okay, so Sci-Fi is gonna make a Lobo spinoff. Spinoff from what? Okay, first off, spinoff from what?
Krypton.
Oh God damn it! All right, who here has watched Krypton?
I did.
I haven't.
I just know it exists.
Okay, let me answer that. No one has watched Krypton. Who does not on the side work for a certain network?
Fair enough.
Yeah. So no one has watched Krypton. No one knows who plays Lobo. Can anyone name the actor who plays Lobo?
No.
Can anyone besides Wing tell me anything about Lobo?
Lobo is an intergalactic bounty hunter, last of his species.
Thank you.
He's the baddest badditch that there is.
I think he says Bastitch, right?
Bastitch. I'm not sure how you pronounce it. I mean, I've read him.
Okay.
And he's appeared in enough DC comics over time. He's their Wolverine.
He's their Wolverine. Just say it. But can anyone name another show on Sci-Fi Network
currently
besides Krypton?
Actually, I can't.
A show that they have, I don't know, that they don't play here, so.
Okay. So, I'm going to say something. Cable TV doesn't matter. So why not make a Lobo spinoff? Like they're just like, "Okay, whatever. Like Lobo, that's a character we have. We already cast an actor, let's just make it a show." Like
Yeah.
It, so, like
You could have more fun with Lobo, probably.
You could. Yeah. You could have just done a Lobo show and not done a Krypton show if your goal was just to get to this point. So
the thing is, why didn't the DC streaming service?
Yeah, they wanted to make Swamp Thing.
Which I still don't have no idea what the hell happened there.
So,
I have no clue.
Here's what I'm going to say. Cable TV at this point can do whatever the hell it wants because they will still buy commercials for MyPillow. So, they'll just do whatever. It doesn't matter. Like, they will sell you coins and life insurance. So you just have that now. And your Lobo show.
Yeah.
All right. Stephen King says Netflix should remake Under the Dome.
Is he going to throw up some cash for it, or
I think he's going to just throw up what he does, which is just name. He just posts things. Yeah.
Right. Well, I mean, yeah. Everyone says the book or whatever is much better than the other Under the Dome show.
Yes. The show wasn't great. Hmm. We're going to talk about Stephen King and Obi-Wan Kenobi in a minute.
Oh, yes. Yes.
All right, so we normally don't talk about video game trailers, but I want to mention this one video game trailer in particular.
That's the one you chose, okay.
And it's kind of a big deal because obviously Avengers Endgame and the Marvel Cinematic Universe, like, just to say Avengers, it's automatically news, right? Some new Avengers content. So how about an Avengers video game starring these store brand versions of your favorite Marvel Cinematic Universe heroes?
What? You know what? Weirdly enough, depending on how you present it, I wouldn't mind because I'm buying a store brand Avengers game in a month and a half. Uh-huh. And you know what? The graphics are low enough that it's fine enough.
Okay, it's fine
these
enough.
These guys try to go from something that's kind of realistic if it's cast by sci-fi.
Yes.
Yeah. This is what's that movie we watched? Guardians.
Guardians.
This is Guardians,
yeah.
Yep.
For sure.
Uh-huh. Ooh.
Yep, it's that bad. I would agree with that. I don't understand why they went that particular route and being like, okay, it needs to not look like Chris Evans. Make him bulky. Dress him like the Punisher and paint it like Captain America.
Yeah. The problem I had with this is not the trailer. I thought the trailer set up an interesting story. It's kind of like the Injustice setup, right? Like they did the trailer for Injustice where they're like, okay, so everything goes wrong and, you know, this is bad. And here it is. We're going to kill Captain America and blow up San Francisco. Okay. So I guess that's all interesting. You can do stuff in the video games that have nothing to do with the movies. But we've gotten so accustomed to the look and feel of the Marvel Cinematic Universe as the visual language of what an Avengers property should look like to do this Uncanny Valley thing where you're close, you're almost there, but everything's weird is just... It's just off
it's
for me.
It's a good way to say it, the Uncanny Valley.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And they didn't go far enough back towards the comics. Like, if they had pulled some of that style or done a little bit more of, like, the animated style, they went photo-real-ish, and I was just like...
Well, clearly they can model stuff, so, yeah.
Right. Right. Why is fat Jake Gyllenhaal playing my Captain America? I don't get it.
Yeah, and at this point, Square has spent so much money on that thing that they're it's
a Sonic situation, man. You gotta be careful.
If not, they're gonna have another Anthem on their end.
Yeah.
They don't want that. Look at how EA had that difficulty getting up after that. So.
And I think the fact that there was no gameplay in the trailer made me think, like, you did all cinematic and the cinematic wasn't great, so what's your hook for me, guys? What's your hook?
They should if these guys are at a trade show and they're trying to push a game, show us game footage.
Yeah,
even if it's just walking down a street and doing an effect. Okay, cool. That's how they look animated. Who cares about these cutscenes? We can.
Yeah, the thing is that you and me say that, but when they do that and the reflection and the puddle in Spider-Man is not what people expect it to be, it's worse than what happens here. So it's a lose-lose situation. You're previewing a game. A game gets finished around 2 hours before they ship it.
Yeah.
So, I mean, it's tough.
And you're saying games are finished before they ship?
No, you're right. They're finishing it before, anyway.
It's the first patch, yeah.
The point is, as you said, you do all cinematics so you don't have to show that bullshit. You don't do that. You cut stuff from the movie instead of doing this.
Yeah.
Can we go back to the Hunger Games instead?
Okay, so let's go back Okay, so what's her face? Suzanne Collins, who wrote the Hunger Games, is going to do... She did a prequel book, and it's already being snapped up by Lionsgate to do another...
Of course it is.
Hunger Games movie.
It's called A Summer House.
It's called A Summer House.
Yeah.
Yep.
Well, I don't know.
It's called a private island. It's called...
Do we have any indication how prequels make money franchise?
Yeah. Could we maybe perhaps? Did she get a divorce? Like, is she is she banking on prequel money here to set herself up?
So is this going to be three more movies?
Yeah. I think so. I think it's another trilogy.
So much.
Even though people are already complaining about, well, really, this would be set during the 10th Hunger Games, and the 11th is the interesting one where the old lady from the book, from the current timeline.
Can you have Kiefer Sutherland play President Snow as a younger guy?
No. Well,
I'm sold.
Maybe.
Well, I sold Wing on this.
That could be fun.
Designated survivor.
Right.
Goddess. Yeah, but...
That's even much younger, because this is like... Isn't this supposed to be like 60 years earlier or something?
I don't know.
Some bullshit
that's,
like
yeah,
that.
This would have to be like Kiefer's child being a politician, young politician setting it up, but...
Okay, we can go there.
We can go there.
Yeah.
But your previous point, I think, was the best. I'm trying to think of a well-received prequel stories. Lord of the Rings.
Yeah, The Hobbit. Oh, no.
No.
No, Star Wars didn't do it.
Caprica.
Who else? Yeah, that didn't work. Who else?
Game of Thrones. We'll find out.
We'll see. Yeah. Harry Potter is clearly not working.
Yeah.
I mean, the Fantastic Beasts crap.
It's almost like people want to be surprised, and knowing the end of the story kind of ruins that.
Well, we're talking about success cinematically, right?
Sure.
Okay, because books, I go super geeky and go into Warhammer 40K and say, well, they went 10,000 years back and did the Horus Heresy, and after 53 books, they're finally wrapping it up.
I was about to say, successful. To get all that
but
stuff.
But that's reading, though. That's not
I would say something that excites mass audiences to go see something. I'm sure there is
a
prequel out there. Gotham.
Pennyworth.
Krypton. Oh, I know. Krypton. They're going to do a Lobo spin-off. Okay. Switch gears here for a second. DC Warner. Allegedly, this is not confirmed.
Star Trek Enterprise. Sorry.
They are eyeing Star Trek Enterprise. Discovery. I'll give you Discovery. Eyeing James Gum. James Gum?
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Yep. Yes. Chewy. James Gunn to direct a Justice League reboot.
Could be interesting, but are they just going to keep rebooting Superman and fucking Justice League with new actors every 4 years?
Okay.
What? Yes.
My theory is DC movies are good as long as it isn't Batman or Superman.
They're going to reboot the Suicide Squad, but not really, because there's some people on the Suicide Squad we liked who we're going to bring
back.
That I'm
okay with, because that's just...
You know what I mean? Yeah. And then so we're going to see how James Gunn does at that, And if that works, we're going to have them do the same exact thing, but with Justice League.
With some call of the same it Justice, people.
Call it Justice League America, which it's supposed to be called, and just freaking do it because it's James Gunn. And if he does it once, he'll do it again, and this is good.
Remember, there were comic book Justice League incarnations that did not have Superman or Batman in
them. Yeah.
And they worked.
And they said they wanted to do Green Lantern and Batgirl and Black Canary and flesh it out with some other people.
What was the first thing they did when they wanted the book to work well again? They put back Superman, Batman, and Wonder Woman.
Got to have the trilogy.
Well, you could have Trinity. Wonder Woman in there because they haven't screwed up the character on the screen yet.
Aquaman too.
And Batman.
Aquaman made a lot of money.
Yeah. I'm halfway through it. It was fun. Well, from what I saw so far.
Okay.
Aquaman made more money than The Dark Knight. So.
Wait till the Gungans show up, if you know what
Shut
I mean.
Up.
Okay. last but not least, Warner Media won the J.J. Abrams arms race with a $500 million partnership deal with Bad Robot Productions.
Why are my contract not that good? I mean, God, $500 million.
That's just stupid, but congrats to him, I guess.
Yeah. Well, maybe if they make some movies, they'll make him happy. So.
He's got to sign this this contract had a ticking clock, and that deadline is the release date of Episode 9.
He
goes exclusive before the movie comes out, and then if the movie bombs, he's like, "Well, I got my $500 million pay or play."
Right, he's got his retirement.
It's not gonna bomb. It's gonna make its money. It's gonna make double its budget at least minimum.
Yeah,
and
it's gonna make $250 million the first weekend, and then people are gonna bitch about it for 2 years.
Yeah,
and then it's we'll make bank on DVD.
20 years later, we'll be talking about it.
Yes.
Yeah, probably.
All right, three trailers this week. First off, Obi-Wan Kenobi, Ewan McGregor in the Shining sequel, Dr. Sleep.
Did not expect it.
Neither did I.
Don't care.
I'll watch it.
I knew it was coming, but I really don't care. I mean, The Shining, the book, The Shining, the movie are two different things. If you're making a sequel to the book, then make a version of the original, I guess. And you can't make a sequel to Stanley Kubrick. I mean, 2010 tried.
They're trading on the Kubrick legacy, I think.
Yeah.
It's going to be the 2010 of Shining.
Yeah.
Pennyworth is going to be the Gotham of...
What channel is this on? Fox. What channel is Pennyworth
this is
on?
Epics or something, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, this is
first
the
off,
new Caprica time.
Who here has Epics as a TV channel on?
Nope.
There? Whatever.
Okay.
It's on Netflix here.
It might be an add-on on Amazon, but no, I probably won't see.
I got to say, I dig the Austin Powers vibe, and it looks cool, but I don't even know where to start with watching it.
I think what we really need is actually a prequel to Pennyworth where the father of Thomas Wayne is moving slave across the board, you know?
Oh, my God. Oh, Underground Railroad. Yeah, because Wayne Manor is built on an Underground Railroad.
Yeah, and then Lobo, turns out Lobo is working for the Confederacy.
You guys ready or not to do the last trailer?
I am so ready or not to do this final trailer. So, you married into a new family. On your wedding night, they insist on playing a rousing game of hide-and-seek in which they will try to kill you.
Oh, but they don't tell you they're trying to kill you until somebody accidentally blows a maid away.
This is like Get Out / I don't know. There's a handful of movies.
Pride and Prejudice and Zombies.
The Most Dangerous Game.
Yeah, yes. I mean, it's...
Deep cut.
Yes.
Deep cut that one. I'm dumb.
That's a literary classic.
Yeah,
I guess.
Most dangerous game is man. Is man?
Ah, okay. Oh,
man,
so it's like the
most
game.
Dangerous. The game. No, game as in like what you hunt. So
no, I know.
Man is the most dangerous game.
I think Ice Cube
and Hunting Man
or Ice
is the most dangerous game to play.
Right, right. That's my
because
point.
Man
but if
is
you serve man. It's a cookbook.
Oh. This trailer Spoilers. Looked fun.
Surviving
it's the only one. This
the game 1994. Ice-T was hunted by Rutger Hauer and other people.
Oh.
Really? Ice-T and Rutger Hauer in the same movie. Okay.
Hey, man, I'm just telling you.
Cool.
We should put that on the list.
We should put that on the list. Ready or not, that was tonight's episode.
That happened. Yes, it did. Hold on, I'm writing. Meow. All right, well, this has been episode... Nope, shit. That's not what I do here.
You should
next time, Legends Podcast, Skyscraper, last summer's huge hit,
along with the Meg and Crazy Rich Asians.
Right, exactly. I think you called all of them except the Asians. Yes. This has been episode 427 of Legends Podcast. I'm Beef saying I'm actually excited to watch Skyscraper.
I'm John D saying I'm so happy we haven't done Clone Wars, because that's so bad.
This is Kent, and I have nothing to say right now, strangely enough. I don't know. I am Groot? I don't know.
and this is John Lobster saying thank you, Kent.
Thank you, Kent.
For joining us. You can check Kent out on the erstwhile Art House Legends podcast. Which has a large back catalog, of which I guest on many episodes.
You didn't guest. You were main on many episodes.
Co-host, yeah.
Yeah.
Occasionally guest. And I'm John the Lobster saying, how wooed.
Roger, roger. Thank you for listening. If you'd like to leave us feedback, you can find us on Twitter and Facebook at Legends Podcast. For all our contact information, as well as other shows, look to GunnaGeek.com and KrakenCast.com. You can also visit LegendsPodcast.Lipson.com, where you'll find our complete archives. The music heard on this podcast is Danger Storm by Kevin MacLeod and can be found at Incomputech.com. The opinions heard on this podcast are those of each individual host and do not represent Legendstream Canada, GunnaGeek, or KrakenCast. No infringement is intended.